Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Thank you, Father, for bless you. Now, I want you to, you see, in the scriptures, in Genesis chapter 1, the first revelation of God was Elohim. God is great. Amen. I say God is great. God is the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. There is no one like our God. He is the same yesterday. He is the same even today. And tomorrow he will not change. If you believe, shout hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to take a few verses. Genesis chapter 1, we'll do the amplified version. Other amplified. This is classic. Give me the other amplified. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created by forming from nothing. Come on, say from nothing. The heavens and the earth. This earth was formless and void, or a waste and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, primeval ocean that covered the unformed earth. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, pleasing, and what? Useful. He affirmed and sustained it. And God separated the light, distinguishing it from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Please take your seats for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Just bring it down a bit. There is none like you. You are the Lord and worthy of honor and praise. No other name. There is no one like you. Say there is no one.
There is no like you.
You alone.
You alone have working over and over. Praise. There's no other name.
Hallelujah. There is power in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is light, is power. It shakes the cedar of Lebanon. It can change a life instantly. You see, if you call yourself a Christian, your greatest advantage is the word of the Lord. Don't gamble it. God does not invest or fund anything he does not see. He does not fund it, except he's the one saying it. Because his word is yea and amen. And it says, I know the plan that I have for you. So before, you will see it from Genesis chapter 1. Before you, your parents thought they would get married and have a child, God had a complete book with your name on it. Say before you were formed. That means before the doctor knew. Before your mom knew that she was pregnant. Before you existed in this material world, God said he had met you. He said he knows your name. And there are some of you bearing names that's not the name God gave you. Your parents named you after your dead grandmother, but that's not your real name. So you must find your name. If you are named Ogunsheyi, Ogun has done this. You know that's not your name. So you can change it to Oluwaloseyi. Amen? And you are not where you are coming from. If you heard that from a motivational speaker, you are already stuck. If you heard it from what the Lord has revealed to you, then your circumstance will never be a hindrance. And that is why when we come before God on a Sunday morning like this, we didn't show up because we didn't have anything to do at home. We showed up before the God of the whole earth. Hallelujah. I said we showed up before the God of the whole earth. Please take your seats, but just stay on that song quietly. Every time I am almost tempted to believe that God's word is not real, then something happens and then I fear and I quake at how great God is. Last Sunday I was preaching in Abuja. I was in Abuja for 3 days, and on the third day someone came to me. He had been sending me a message. I didn't know who it was. And now, if you just call me, I may not pick your call if I don't have your number. So it's my phone. And it's not because I don't like picking calls. The problem is that most people don't go straight to the point. If you call me, I shouldn't be the one saying hello, good morning. You should be you called me, so talk. Don't give me the extra responsibility of making you happy. If you pick the call, hello, pastor, my name is. Don't expect me to use prophecy and know who you are. Save me the stress. Because at the end of the day now, I'll be the one say, how are you? How's your day? How's work? How's your wife? But you called me and you are making me talk. So this brother had been trying to reach me. And let me tell you, if you don't set boundaries, people will mess you up. And people need to know there are times they can't reach you. If you want to live long, if not, they will call you like my customer that used to call me 12 midnight to ask for account balance. Did I take the computer home from the office? I want to know how much I have in my account. The brother called me and was trying to reach me. I didn't know who he was, and I didn't pick. And then he sent me a text. He's a lawyer. I'm this. Please, I would like to see you. I've been in the meeting for the last 3 days. So I didn't reply. When I got to the church, I asked the pastor, who is this person? Then he told me, it's one of us. One. All right. Is he a good person? Say yes. So I said, okay. So as I was coming in, he waited at the door. And then he said, I'm so person. I said, how are you? Very handsome. I said, okay, I like your face. After service, I'll see. Then I sat with him after the service, and he said to me, say, 3 years ago, you came to this church. You are in Abuja. And you called me out in a service like this, Sunday service. That day, I remember that Sunday specifically. From that meeting, I rushed to the airport. He said that he called me out, and you didn't know me. You just said, the Lord told me to ask me to tell you that he wants to give you a lot of money, and it's in dollars. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So I've been reappraising my spiritual life since I spoke to him, because I've been thinking maybe there's something wrong with me. But so he said, I gave him that. People were clapping. But you know the good thing about that type of prophecy is that I don't need to wait for the manifestation. I just prophesy and I run away. Whether you get the money or not, it's not my business. But I said lots of money and it's in dollars. Your head will not reject prophecy. There are people we pray for and the demon in them will be telling us, don't bless him. Ah. But their name is Chukwu Emeka. Their name is Michael. Their name is very Christian. But there are powers behind them saying this one should not be blessed. So he told me, he said after I left, he had one small investment that didn't mean anything, that had lost value for about 3 years. He said after I left, he held on to that word. And one day he woke up and turned on his harp and he saw $500,000. We are trained to be calm. We are trained to be calm. I said, okay, that's all right. 500, all right. So, as he was talking, I picked my calculator. Times 1450. Say, my God. He said, but this is the thing. Are you with me? Because today's service is not about money, but Genesis 1. But I want to give you a practical demonstration, because most people commonize the word of the Lord. They think when you are being prophesied to, it's what we do among ourselves to make ourselves feel happy. It's not. The word of the Lord is power. I said the word of the Lord is power. The scripture tells that where the word of the king is, there is what? There is power. Except that word is not from the Lord. So I said, what did you do? He said, I decided to wait. I said, no, maybe there is more. I said, in my mind, if I were you, $500,000, I beg, you don't do. The blessing is enough. With this one, I cannot be poor again. And let me tell you, if you have that type of money and you are still asking, you don't know what to do with it. You are not. That money should be taken away from you immediately. You should have known what to do before that money comes. He said he held on to that word. He said, no, this is not it. You that didn't have $10,000 woke up and saw $500,000. He said, I believe your word. I believe. He said, and he saw the thing rise to $1.2 million. See, it's that. I said that about, well, as at that, I think that period, dollar was like 700 or something. So that's like over a billion, 1.6 billion. And I'm looking at the Chukwu Emeka talking to me. It doesn't look like anybody that we have 1.8 billion naira. But the word of the Lord. And I remembered last week, 4 people I have prayed for like that. And they became like crazily, very madly rich. So I now realize that at this point, even my joke must be a blessing, because the person standing in front of me did not do anything. When God wants to bless you, he will simply find something around you that he can bless. Yes. What does she have? See, I have a small cup of oil. That we can use that one. I am very skilled with data analysis. Okay, let's use that. God will create a big problem. And you will be the only data analyst that day on the street. So come on, say amen. Amen. That day, they will just need one computer, something. That thing may not mean anything, no. But that day, you will be the only Moses standing with your rod. Amen. And they will just say, okay, you know what? Can you just do it? 80 million. just do it. If you are still scared when you see 9 zeros, you don't know. The level I'm talking about is more than 9 zeros. The brother I'm talking about is in his, I think, 34, 35. $1.2 million for simply coming out and say, thank you, sir, I received that word. I didn't even remember I gave him a word.
Even me, I didn't believe what I told. Forever changed. Jesus was in a location and then Jairus came to him. And he said, Master. He knelt down and said, Master, my daughter is dead. Say, please, if you can come, maybe she will live again. And Jesus went with him. And while he was going, he had a particular destination on his mind. But there was a woman with the issue of blood. Jesus didn't plan for her. But she broke through. Jesus had a destination. There was somewhere Jesus was not. Jesus was thinking about the girl that was dying, that died. The girl didn't care about the protocol or the agenda of heaven. She knew this is my last chance. If I can touch the hem of his garment. Let me tell you, for you to be a woman like that, sick for how many years? 12 years. You must have a lot of money for doctors to be seeing you. But she realized that at this point, she cannot be coordinated. She really can't afford speaking through her nose like British people. You know, she has to do something crazy. Are you with me? She has to do something what? Crazy. Because Peter will not allow her. Break that rank. And sometimes, when you need to do something crazy, don't tell anybody. They are the ones that will discourage you. If the Lord says, go and buy a plot of land and give it to your church, even the pastor like myself will discourage you. Because I'll tell you that you have not eaten. Yes, I would probably discourage you. When you need to do something crazy, and I'm talking to somebody now, but you are not hearing me. I said, when God wants you to do something crazy, it must be between you and God, because God never makes sense to a man. Anything God asks you to do will never make sense to any mortal man. Because that woman on a good day could have come to Jesus and asked her PA to come and speak to Jesus. And Jesus would ask, okay, when I'm done with Jairus, I will come to you. But she realized that this is a last minute opportunity. She broke through the rank. She didn't ask for prayer. She grabbed him. Tell your neighbor, do something crazy. Yeah, most times we are not desperate. We think we are, but we are not really desperate, which is why it seems that certain things are elusive. They are elusive. For instance, as a sister, if you are waiting to be married, to start taking care of yourself, well, the angels will appreciate you. Even God will appreciate you. But I can assure you, no man will. It takes a man of the heavenly realms to look at you and say, okay, the beauty is natural. Inner beauty. But please, can I tell you, you need more than inner beauty. Take care of yourself. That's what I'm telling you. So don't come and say, is it about the outside? Yes, it's about the outside. And also the inside. I want to ask you a question. If you walked into church and someone prophesied to you and you looked just like every other person that the Lord wants to give you $500,000. What would you do? How would you respond? What would you do with that time? Would you consider honoring the Lord first of all? Or going on a shopping spree? You want to impress Fatima. You want to show her that God has finally blessed you. The cheapest thing God can give you is money. Cheapest. So it doesn't mean anything. When that woman held on to Jesus, it was her faith that pulled the power out of him. And I am amazed at how, in a day as we are in, a lot of people can be close to God without the primary requirement for a miracle, which is faith. The woman was not a disciple of Jesus, but she told herself, this morning, I will not let him pass me by. Jesus did not even pray for her. She got a miracle on her own. And when Jesus asked, who touched me? Do you really think Jesus did not know? He wanted to see the face of the woman whose faith was so potent to pull out such volumes of power out of him. Because this one is not Peter. Peter will argue his way through. Who is this person that I've been listening to my message? How come your faith is like a big drum that just wants to take everything?
And when the woman knew that she had been found out, she identified herself, and Jesus said, "Oh my, your faith has made you so you're good." So now Jesus gave her wholeness, which means she will never experience that thing again. And nobody in our bloodline will have that problem. Sometimes you can be healed of something and your children will fight with it. They'll still fight after, they'll fight against that thing. What you want is wholeness, not healing. Healing is okay, but you need wholeness. In Genesis chapter 1, I believe in miracles. Amen. I believe God has a budget for my life. And that budget is not in naira. And it's not in dollars. That budget is in life. Divine life. Divine life. That the value of divine life cannot be quantified in dollars. It's more than dollars. The scripture said that the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The first thing I want to introduce to you here from the first verse is that before there was a formlessness, there was something, there was an earth, there was a location called heaven. There is nothing that is happening to your life now, irrespective of the crisis. God's verdict over your life before the crisis was that everything was fine, that you are okay. In the beginning was the heavens and the earth. Everything is fine. You are married, you have children, you grew old, you saw your great-grandchildren. That is what is in God's book. But verse 2 introduced us to spiritual warfare. He said there was darkness. And you see, darkness here means there is the absence of revelation. There is the spirit of the enemy seemed to have taken siege. And let me tell you, one of the ways Satan takes siege over families, the scripture said, while men slept. There are people who, by virtue of how God has made them, are the spiritual leader of their family. They may be the last one. They may be the third. They may even be the only daughter. They may be someone that is not really significant in the family, but in the spiritual realm, that is the person holding the family. If that person sleeps, and let me tell you one of the ways to identify those people, they are usually the ones with the greatest problem. They are the ones that people be asking, "So what's happening? What's happening? Morenike, what's happening? What's happening? So how about your work? How about your marriage? Your parents took 25 years of your life to tell you not to be close to any brother. Then all of a sudden they are asking you that, where is the guy? There's no guy. You told me not to be close to anybody." Anyway, the first advice was for your good. Now the second counsel is also for your good. If you are the spiritual lamp over your family, don't sleep. And slumber is another matter. Slumber is entertainment. Slumber is ignorance, not knowing that you are the one. The reason why God is blessing that family. You know, God can bless a family because of one person. God blessed the house of Potiphar because of Joseph. God didn't care about Joseph, about Potiphar. He doesn't know him and he doesn't care. But because Joseph was there, God considered that family. God can bless a business because of the kind of person you employed. And the day that person decides to go, you will see the difference. That month, you will not make sales. Do you think that Laban kept the wife of Jacob from him because he really wanted the other sister to get married first? He saw that the day that boy moved in, God started blessing him. So how do we keep him? He will marry two wives, marry two sisters. The man that, if I enjoy this kind of blessing for 14 years, I cannot be poor again. I'll buy a house in the Banna Island. I'll buy a house in Lekki. He has planned that he's going to spend that money. Until the man say, no more. Usually the person who recognizes is the grace over his life last is the person carrying that grace. You can be anointed. Everybody around you will know, you will not know. And they'll be managing you because they know that anywhere there's darkness, it is easy to control that person. As long as there are things about yourself you don't know, it's easy to control you. Don't be a child. You are the priest. So get up.
Tell your neighbor, get up. You're a priest. Darkness was over the face of the deep, but God didn't panic over the darkness, as in the same manner, you should not panic. Because when you cease opposition, when Satan comes after your child and comes after your family and you panic, the first thing Satan knows from your panic is that there is something in your life that is not righteous before God. Because every time God gives you peace in the land, it is for you to rise in spiritual authority. Rise in spiritual authority. Don't permit idolatry in your around you. Don't. This family, nobody, we don't serve idols here. You tell them from today, if you serve idols, you die. No. Because you will not be here 100 years from now. Then your children will start dealing with what one daddy, one uncle, one auntie. I am here now. I am the priest over this. If you try anything, the priesthood will work against you. But you cannot do that if you don't understand light. Because darkness rarely responds to any other thing except light. Have you tried cooking in the dark before? And please, I'm not talking about PACN. Because I mistook salt for white Omo in my own kitchen. And I poured salt into the pot. I poured white Omo into the pot, thinking it was salt. Oh my God, such a blessed delicacy. See the way I was screaming, hey! I could not blame anybody because I did it myself. And that was the only food available that day. So when there's no light, you will confuse Omo detergent for salt. So we don't determine the status of anything by virtue of color. Are you hearing me now? That she is light-skinned doesn't mean she's godly. That she speaks Queen's English doesn't mean she will stay in your house. She may be a career divorcee. You know career divorces? They come 1 year, 2 years, divorce, you take 50% of your property. God, that's what they do for a living. God bless Donald Trump. Now he's dealing with all of them. When you walk in the light, you are able to see what is happening, irrespective of what people are telling. You can see what they are not seeing. You can see what they are not seeing. They can peddle it and come to you and say, oh, this is how we are going to run the business. Their plan is to swindle you. And right there where you are, you can see what that this. No. I went for a meeting somewhere and I was preaching. Then I started prophesying. And I called the lady and I said, I saw the Lord Jesus enter your house. And he came into your parlor. And he started rearranging your parlor. And she started crying. People didn't know why she was crying. Nobody knew why she was crying. I said, he specifically said, this parlor, this is where we need to fix. And he started by himself rearranging the chairs, cleaning it, center table, everything. After the meeting, she came to me and said she had a dream 3 years ago where she was dressed in a wedding gown. She's not married. And everywhere was arranged in the house except the parlor. And she didn't know what that dream meant. And then I came 2025 and I said, I saw the Lord coming to your house and he said, this parlor, we have to fix it. And Jesus himself started. I said, that means your deliverance has come. You want to walk in the prophetic by looking at people's faces. You are already in error. God saw the darkness, but he spoke light. And we are going to pray this for the next 15 minutes. We are going to pray because some of us have become so lazy. Look through the book of Genesis chapter 1 and count how many times God kept saying, and God said, and God said, and God said. The direct result of the darkness required God saying several times. Are you with me? You are not hearing me because some of you said, Pastor, I prayed. You prayed once or you prayed twice. I'm saying, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let the waters be separated from the waters. And God said, let there be a firmament and let the waters be separated from the waters. And God created the birds and God created the animals and God created. And by the time God created man, man did not need anything. Everything was restored for him. You are not hearing me. That this hard work mode was not God's design. For you, the moment you came into this world, everything you would need in your life, God already put it here. But if you are walking in the darkness and you are not daily asking the Lord, what is your daily provision for me today? Because there's a daily provision for you. In the book of Psalms, scripture says he loads us daily
With what? Do you work for benefit? There is a salary you are paid because you work. But there are benefits God pays you because you are in his will. That one is more than salary. Spirit move over me. Spirit move. Holy Spirit, move me now. May my life, oh. When I was preaching in Mubi, in Yola State, I learned every day, because I was asked to pray for two women who had large goiters over their neck, but they didn't understand English, and I couldn't communicate with them properly in Hausa, but I could understand a bit of what they were saying. And when I laid my hands on their neck, I felt the goiter. Then I prayed in tongues. You see, the communication of the spirit bypasses earthly communications. I prayed in English. I rebuked the spirit, because any affliction that doesn't respond to drugs has a spirit in it. And I rebuked it. They didn't say amen because they didn't know what I was saying. But then I heard, "Why you Allah? Why you Allah? Why you Allah?" Both of them screamed at the same time. The goiter disappeared instantly. I was there with the PFN chairman and the PFN secretary, and the meeting had ended. They just ran in and said, "There's a healing going on, healing meeting going on here," and boom, they just like that. They didn't even understand what I was saying. They didn't understand it. Today, God's word, we superintend over every limitation. I prophesy that the word of the Lord will superintend over every limitation in your life, in the name of Jesus. Wherever the word of the King is, there is power. There is no limitation to the authority and power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, God's word is coming in your location. God's word is finding you. In the name of Jesus. I said, God's word is coming to your direction now. The Bible says he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from what? From destruction. Today, God's word is coming in your direction. Many years ago, I was in a meeting. We were praying there, and as we were praying, a woman was there. She came to where we were praying, and she brought her baby who had never walked for 3 years. And my senior friend, said we should pray for her. We prayed for her. And he told the woman, "Go in faith." He said, "Because Jesus has healed you." Then I whispered to him, "If Jesus has healed the baby, then why is the baby not walking?" And he said, "Brother Gbenga, that one is beyond me. I'm not God." And I said, "Madam, put the baby down." Oh. See that problem you are managing? You will put it down today. That high blood pressure, that doctor's report, you put it down this morning. What are you doing, young person, you say, kidney dial? What are you doing, kidney dial? It's not your business. It's not your problem. It's not your portion. She dropped the baby. And the baby stood there for like 2 minutes, reaching out to the mother. And I said, "Just hold his hand, but don't carry him." My brother that I was praying with turned his back, and he pretended as if he was praying again. On another matter, I said, "You're a liar. You're afraid." I didn't hear God though. It was just garage. There's something when I was in Hausa land, we say garage. Just shakara. I didn't hear God. I said, release your faith. Now that I'm paying school fees, I will not try it again. But I mean, I tried it that day. I know I saw the baby to the first step, to the second step, to the third step. I said, madam, let him keep walking. Let him, that is free. Free. Wherever the word of the king is there. So God is not a man. I said, that thing that has been on your mind for years, I came to tell you God is not a man. If God speaks a word today, that thing is over. Said his word is light. God spoke light into the darkness, and the darkness was what? It was separated from the, God separated it. And today, everything Jesus is doing is speaking into the darkness. Everything Jesus is doing today. Do you know the revival that is going on in Iran right now? A lot of people are coming to Jesus in the nation of Iran. A lot of, while they are trying to come to Africa, Jesus is leading many of them in Iran to Jesus. Do you know how many Christians are in Palestine? A Muslim brother, I was listening to him last week from, he lives in the US anyway. Just bring it down a bit. He had a conversation with his his Christian colleague at the office, and he was like, no, Jesus is just a prophet, a regular person. We love him, we respect him. See, Jesus doesn't need your respect, he needs your worship. And the guy said he went to me and he wanted to perform the ablution and was going to pray. And then he suddenly found himself mentioning the name of Jesus. Then he stopped himself and he mentioned the name of Jesus. And he stopped himself and he mentioned. Then he stopped and said, what is this? This is not right. This is not right. Then he said, Jesus, if you are real, I want you to come and prove. Because people think that if they pray that prayer, Jesus will not come. If you know this Jesus, challenge him. Jesus needs your child. I was at the hospital, I was dying, and I told the Lord, I said, if you save me from hepatitis, I will preach. I said to the Lord, then I was walking in Victoria Island. God said, that promise you made to me. I said, I didn't remember what I said. He said, you promised me your life. And you said, you serve me. I said, but I'm serving. He said, no. The main one. You are the one that forgets. So he doesn't forget. The brother was on his knees there. And he was doing his thing. And he said he felt his very warm fire flow through his fingers. Shatakatabaya! He said, who told you about speaking in tongues? Welcome to the brotherhood. He's a Christian. Light. God is light. God is light. Anywhere God is, anywhere his word is, no ignorance. And wherever there's revelation, there's light. What do you experience? Peace. Because you can tell that God is in control. Please, can you preach to your neighbor's man and say, God is still in control of your life. Now, before we pray for the next 10 minutes, I want to announce to you that when God spoke into the darkness in Genesis chapter 1, there was nothing on the earth that suggested that the darkness would disappear. So God spoke words of faith. God is a faith God. Hallelujah. God is a faith God. God spoke words of faith. God spoke words of faith. And today you are going to speak. Hallelujah. I say you are going to speak. Do you remember the scripture we read in Mark chapter 11 verse 23? About 3 weeks ago. He said you shall have what you say. Glory to God. He said you shall have what you say. There's greatness on your inside, and you shall have what you say. I said there's greatness on your inside, and you shall have what you say. I said there's greatness on my inside, and I shall have what I am saying. I shall have what I have said. I said I shall have what I am saying. Rise on your feet. I want us to pray. Invade my head. Invade my space. Invade my life with the light of your word. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Ask that the light of God's word will invade your space. Will invade your life in the name of Jesus. Ask, pray. I need just one fervent prayer warrior this morning. Ask that the light of God's word will invade your life. Will invade your family. Will invade your space in the name of Jesus. Raketa malakata satayanda. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. That amen is weak. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Listen to me. There are things and there are matters concerning you that are kept from you. Information that if put in your hands will change the trajectory of your life. There are people you need to meet. Upon meeting them, your life has changed. Listen to me. There are destiny helpers and destiny partners that God has ordained and designed that these people must be in your journey. But they are kept from you because you really do not know that this is who they are. So now you are going to ask for open eyes. Lord, I need eyes to see who is in my journey. Lord, I need ears to know those that I need to be talking to. I open my eyes, oh God, and let me see. Open my spiritual eyes. I cannot afford to be blind. I cannot afford to be blind anymore. Open your mouth and begin to prophesy and ask, Lord, if you would open the eyes of my spirit. There is a level of sight required for every level. There is a level of sight that is required for every level. Rekatamba lekando sotaya nikabalia sata. Oh, rabile kene kona sataya. Rebele kene kozotaya lemeliko barata. Open my eyes, oh God, let me see. Open my eyes, oh God, let me see. I am tired of being blind. I am tired of being blind. Open my spiritual eyes, oh God, so that I can see that which has been allocated to me. I want to see the resources that have been allocated to me. Open your mouth and prophesy. You've got 2 minutes. Wherever there is light, there will be sight. Wherever there is darkness, there will be spiritual blindness. Begin to speak over your life. Lord, I want my spiritual eyes to become fully opened. I want to see what you have prepared for me. I want to see what you have prepared for my children. I want to see what you have prepared concerning this ministry. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. I can no longer afford to be spiritually blind. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now you are going to speak to the Lord and say, whatever I have forfeited or lost by reason of spiritual blindness, this morning I recover them. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Open your mouth and whatever I have lost by reason of spiritual blindness, whatever I have forfeited by reason of spiritual blindness, now that my eyes are open, I recover them. I recover them. On behalf of my children, I recover them. On behalf of my wife, I recover them. On behalf of this ministry, I recover them. Begin to prophesy. Begin to prophesy. Open your mouth and pray. Today, we are doing it yourself. It's a do it yourself. Today, we recover all. We recover whatever we have forfeited by reason of spiritual blindness. Today, we recover it. Today, we recover it. Today, we recover it. Today, we recover it. Today, we recover it in the name of Jesus. Kunda barate sekanda yegala mosutaya. Kura balege de bolo sekada. Oh, Rabbi Hasikande likamarando. Merekata kato soto kotobodia sakata. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The scripture says, here is a man that is what? Diligent. In what? In his ways? In his ways? Did you say his ways? In his walk. He shall what? He shall stand. Before who? Kings. And not ordinary men. Shall not stand for ordinary men. Listen, this is 2025. You don't need to be 60 for your life to matter. I refuse to be small. I refuse to be small. When I was in Abuja last weekend, I met with a prophet from Kaduna. And he said to me, he said, I saw you preaching in a country. It was a very significant. He started prophesying to me. The man was seeing me for the first time. But he had heard about me before. But the day he saw me, he just said, kneel down. I have a word for you. And he began to prophesy. Let me tell you, your life is, everything about your life is not what you know. It's not what you know. That's why you need spiritual eyes. If not, you will play too. You will not aspire for more. And you will be explaining away your backwardness with Nigeria's budget. The scripture spoke about Abraham, who was wealthier than the nation. God is not afraid to give. He's not afraid of giving you money. He's afraid. He doesn't trust you. He knows that you will disappear. You start correcting your pastor's message, so he keep you where you are. You don't know how proud you are until you have $1.2 million. Huh? But it was a prophetic word, though, that brought 1.2. So the question is, the vessel that was used, what's his value? What's his own worth? So I now realize that it's like I've been looking down on myself. If I gave someone a prophetic word, he didn't have $5,000 in his life, and God blessed him with $1.2 million. He didn't leave the country. He was in Abuja. He became a billionaire, and he was about 35 years or thereabout. I speak to every deposit of God in your life. There are blessings God has put in your life. You may not even know they are there. I speak to them now. Whether they are spiritual or material, let them begin to surface. Because you are designed by heaven to stand before kings. Now I speak to that prophetic word. I speak to that promise. I speak to that blessing. Now surface. Sometimes you don't agree. It was a young girl of 16, 17 years who told me that I would work in a bank. It was a girl of 17 years that got me my phone. The girl was just getting into the university as a pre-degree student. You may be small. It doesn't mean your destiny is small. That girl is a scientist now in the U.S. and she's also a minister of the gospel. I say your destiny is not small. We rebuke anything called small in your life. I said today, we rebuke anything called small in your life. One more prayer, and then we'll close the first service. The word of God says, and I will restore to you the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm have destroyed. Listen to me. Today is a day for recovery. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know. Now you are going to prophesy because God has given you a mouth which the enemy cannot gainsay. So open your mouth and begin to prophesy. And begin to declare right now. Every year, all the years that they can't cover, all the years that have been stolen, that I have lost, every battle I faced with my health that took away my years, my valuable years. The Lord said, I will restore to you the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm have destroyed. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I come into my season of all-round restoration. In the name of Jesus, I come into the season of all-round restoration. Receive your prophecy. Receive your restoration. Receive your destiny back. In the name of Jesus. Alle baroto sita yende lebosa. Restoration, 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 restoration. Oh, rabale kando bosotaya. Oh, rabasekan. Restore, restore, restore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Some of you, like I always say to you, one of the marks of God's favor in your life is that God will give you grace to meet with people. He will give you favor with people. People who want to be in your space. The Bible says in the day of his power, the people shall be. So you see men They just come around. They want to be in your life. One other sign you will see when the Lord's favor is upon you is that he will call you to his own dining table. There are benefits that will come to your life. Others will work for it. You won't. God won't permit you to work for it. And today we have come to the dining table of the Lord Jesus. I said today you have come to the dining table of the living God. So whatever has made you sweat before today is over. You will only do what is required by heaven. I said you will only do the work that is required by heaven. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and bless the Lord this morning.
To your table I will dine. Give me bread, give me wine, and I'll be forever satisfied. You have called me to your table and I will dine.
Say, give me bread, give me wine,
give me bread and give me wine, and I'll be forever satisfied.
You have called me.
When the Lord has summoned you, there is an attitude that you will come with. It's the attitude of joy. Hallelujah. When Jesus saw that woman that was going to bury her son, Jesus told the woman, he said, weep not. No weeping is allowed here. Say, weep not. Please tell your neighbor, don't weep again. Now prophesy to your neighbor, you will not weep again. I want you to prophesy like a prophet. Say, there is no room for weeping. There is no room for weeping. There is no room for weeping. Begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. Now, professor, I say, begin to rejoice. Now, I want you to speak to yourself and say, my soul, hear the word of the Lord. Rejoice. I have decided I will rejoice. That's my destiny. That's my prophecy. I rejoice in his word. I rejoice in what he's already doing. And I rejoice in what he's yet to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed this morning?
I will arise. Arise.
Align myself.